is Heather Dubrow's World, and now you can live in it two times a week right here on Podcast One. Welcome back, everybody. It's Skylar.
Yay.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe you're here.
Yes. Well, you had to drag me out of my sick bed to get me here. But yeah.
Meanwhile, last night at dinner, Terry was telling a story about how he was like, I never get sick. And I was like,
You never say that.
But also, he gets like an evil something once a year, something evil. And then he launched into how I dragged him to a dinner with 102 fever. So here you go. Et tu, Skylar.
No, this is all my kids' fault. This is all my 11-year-old, has gotten me sick twice in the past 6 weeks. Maybe the same cold, different cold, I don't know.
Don't speak ill of my favorite.
Okay.
All right, so let me tell you guys a little bit about my sister. So we are 16 months apart, right? 16 months?
15?
I don't know. That's a lot of math. Yeah. We're about 15, 16 months apart, and I skipped kindergarten, as I think I've talked about before, so very important grade, which I'm still pissed off about. But so we were only a grade apart, so we kind of basically just grew up together.
Right.
And she is married, and she lives in here in sunny California, and she has two boys.
Yes. Yes, 14, which I cannot believe he's in high school, and 11.
Isn't that crazy?
I know, it's insane.
So I need to tell everyone about my experience on Lights Out with David Spade and my day yesterday, which was kind of crazy and insane. But do you know, have you considered this, that there are 90 days left in this decade?
In the decade?
In the decade. It's 2020.
I always get confused. Does it end at the end of the 0 year, or does it end at
2021? Is that it?
I don't know.
Oh, no. You can't do that to me.
Why, were you going to have a special party or something?
No, I'm just saying. I'm going to go with this. I'm going to go with the round number.
You've just decided.
Yeah, I did.
It sounds better.
And everyone's memeing it, right? So...
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's say this is it. 2020, 90 days to the end of the, you know, because usually everyone goes, there's 90 days left of the year. How are you going to, what are you going to do? What are you going to accomplish? But 90 days to the end of the decade seems very heavy.
Yes, it does. It seems like a looming end to something. I don't like that.
Oh, yeah.
Let's not talk about that anymore.
I forgot you're Miss Y2K. Do you remember? Wait a minute. Do you remember? Okay, now we have to talk about the end of the decades and the end of the century. Do you remember where we were in the year 2000, where we celebrated?
Mexico.
Yes.
Yes.
And do you remember who we were with?
I was with my almost husband.
Yes.
And our parents.
Yes. Yeah, we were at their house.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Didn't they have a party on the rooftop? Or no, did we go out?
I can't remember.
No, we went out. We went to...
Camino Real?
Yes, but it's not called that anymore.
No. But I just remember that there are no rules about safety, and we were standing on the beach directly under where the fireworks landed. It was awesome. And everything smelled like cordite.
Yeah, but you were like, Miss Y2K, the world is going to end.
I didn't say the world was going to end. I said that unless things got fixed computer-wise, there could be some problems. And
yeah, that was Miss Y2K.
Yes. Well, they did fix things, so.
I think everything was fine. There was no tragedy at the rollover.
No. But we made it home, thank God.
We made it home.
If we had been stuck there with them forever, that would have sucked.
That would have been, well, we were landlocked. We could have driven, somewhere.
I would have had to.
Yeah. Yeah, so we managed to survive that. And then the last decade, do you remember where you were 10 years ago?
I always get confused. Like, I keep forgetting there was another decade in between this one and the last.
I know, because 2010 seems kind of random, right?
Yeah, like nothing happened. I don't know.
So when it was New Year's Eve, that was before we conceived Coco.
Yeah, I can't believe you have four children. What's up with that?
How did that happen?
I don't know. That's all your fault.
I told you. Well, I was so infertile. Who knew? I did not know sex equaled pregnancy. Was that the weirdest thing ever?
Yeah. Yeah. But she's cute, so I guess you'll keep her.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
As long as she doesn't get you sick.
No, I don't want to say it out loud because then everyone's going to get sick.
I know.
No, they seem okay right now, though. But you know, all right, but speaking of our kids.
Wait. But you want to talk, one more thing about decades. The funniest thing, like a couple weeks ago, Jackson's high school had like 80s day. And I don't know what it is where they think that entire decade we all walked around with like head to toe neon or something. I said, okay, I just want you to know, 1985, the dead smack in the middle. Okay. It was like my fall year of college. And I was wearing a black biker jacket, all black clothing. I think I may even have black lipstick on. There was no neon happening anywhere. That was the middle of the 80s. Okay.
I know, but I think people think of like Madonna and Cyndi Lauper.
She wore black too.
Yeah, she did. So it was Cyndi Lauper's fault.
Maybe.
Right? And Betsy Johnson too. Wasn't she around that time also?
Yeah.
Becoming really popular?
Yeah.
But neon was big. Do you remember how I used to wear my eye makeup?
Yeah, all neon.
No. Hints of neon.
One thing.
Although we had a big goth year in high school.
Oh, yes, we did.
Yeah. Mom took pictures of it, and she was like, I'm going to take these and show you how ridiculous you look. And even now, Skylar and I look back at them, we're like, looks good.
I know. She thought she'd embarrass us. Now we're like, no, I think I could still wear that.
Yeah, I could totally do it. So I was up here yesterday. Did I tell you this David Spade thing I did?
No.
Okay, so I did this thing. I've told the audience, but I thought I told you this. So I did this thing for David Spade's got a show called Lights Out on Comedy Central. And they put me up on stage at the Comedy Store with IFBs in my ears. And he and Whitney Cummings fed me an act.
I mean, how hard is it to hear somebody talking in your ears? And I always think about that, like the news people, and say it right away as they're talking.
Well, that's the thing. I'm very used to using an IFB because, you know, when we sell our products or, obviously I've done co-hosting and hosting on live TV news programs like Good Day LA and that kind of thing.
Right.
So I'm very comfortable with the IFBs and getting the information quickly and spitting it back out. But imagine being on stage at the Comedy Store and with an audience and there's the pause factor. So.
Right. It's hard to do with comic timing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
But it was funny. But anyway, right before I went out, I was like, what if the sound goes out? So I don't know if I conjured it up or I predicted
the sound went out.
But halfway through my set, it was like being on the 405. Like you're getting right by the airport where you're getting losing every third word. So anyway, so I did it. But it was fun. It was a really fun time. Anyway, they asked me to come on the actual show. So I came up here yesterday.
Right.
And I went on the show. And David's so cool.
Cool.
He's just a really nice, cool. I mean, obviously, super talented and funny, but what a great guy.
Can he hook up with Bags?
What kind of Bags?
Isn't Kate Spade related to him?
By the way, she passed away.
No.
Yes.
Oh, wait. Did I know this?
Yes.
How long ago?
I believe she committed suicide. Yeah.
Recently?
Was it this year? Anna, was it this year? Or a year ago? Yeah.
Ugh.
I know. It's so sad. But she had a big history of depression.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah. Very, very sad. I think she was estranged from her husband, kids. Yeah. Really sad.
I guess that's a no.
That's a no on the bags.
Bag, yeah.
Yeah. No, definitely a no.
Yeah.
But he was cool. The place was awesome. And then I did a tour on my phone of the dressing room.
Mm-hmm.
And my voice sounds like a robot. And everyone's like, I think you dropped your phone in water. Did you get the new iPhone yet?
Yeah.
So I got it, but I haven't turned it on.
Oh, you got the giant one, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
I just got the regular one. You got the Max, right?
I got the Max.
Yeah,
I'm
you
blind.
Always get the giant. Yes, and so you can text one word at a time in giant font.
That's how Katarina knew her fish died, because I was passing my phone, and the font was so big she could read it two rows back. It's kind of a problem.
Oh, that's not good.
But anyway, so.
Fish dead.
Fish
just
dead.
Big words.
Sorry.
Yeah.
She's like, Gilbert? Oopsies. Anywho, so I did that. So I really need to turn on my phone, but we're leaving for Cabo tomorrow.
You are?
Yeah, Terry and I are going away for the weekend.
Oh, that's nice.
I know.
Where are you going?
Cabo.
No.
Oh, we're going to the Pamia.
Oh, okay. I was just there. I love it.
I know.
That's great.
And I sent you to Flora Farms. You finally went
Oh, my gosh. I could eat every meal there.
I told you would love it.
So good. And the vibe is so cool. I could just sit there and listen to music. It was very cool.
It's the best place.
Yeah.
And so anyway, so I did that. And then I went downtown for my fashion line.
Yeah.
So that's coming together.
Man. I was in New York.
I do meetings in New York and I have vendors out here also in downtown LA.
Oh, neat.
And some of them have offices both places.
Uh-huh.
So I do both.
You're listening to Heather Dubrow's World.
Oh, the real, real. Have you ever wanted to own some iconic luxury item, but you don't want to pay thousands and thousands of dollars? Well, you can get those luxury items at unreal values at The Real Real, the leading reseller of authenticated luxury consignment from top designers. You can shop from designers like Louis Vuitton, Gucci, Rolex, Cartier, and hundreds more at up to 90% off retail. New arrivals come in daily, and every single item is authenticated by The Real Real's team of experts. In fact, The Real Real employs over 100 brand authenticators, gemologists, horologists, and art curators from around the globe who inspect thousands of items each day to ensure that every item is 100% authenticated. So all you have to do is shop, and you can consign women's and men's luxury fashion, as well as fine jewelry, watches, art, and home. You can go online, or you can visit one of their original stores in Soho or West Hollywood, or their newest location at 870 Madison Avenue in New York, one of my favorite streets, very chic Upper East Side. Plus, The Real Real has luxury consignment offices in Chicago, Dallas, Miami, San Francisco, and Washington, D.C. In-store new customers receive an automatic $25 at checkout. Shopping in store, online, or download the app, and you're going to get 20% off select items with the promo code REAL. That's therealreal.com, promo code REAL for 20% off select items.
This is Heather Dubrow's World. Here's Heather.
So let me ask you this, because, you know, I would say out of everyone that we knew growing up and everyone that, I don't know, we've been friends with our whole lives, I think out of everyone, you are the one person I did not think would be a stay-at-home mom. Meaning, and this isn't a bad, this isn't negative at all, 100%, not at all. What I'm saying is, and even between you and me, I would have thought that I would do it before you.
Okay, well, it also helped that what I was doing as a job for a while was writing,
right,
which you can do at home. But it was also the IVF thing. I mean, I had endometriosis, or have it, or who knows, and had to do IVF so many times. Oh, my God. I mean, every time my kids had to get a shot at the doctor, I was like, you don't even know. It's like, I've given myself more than 1,000 shots just so you could live. Shut up. You don't even know. So, I mean, after a while, it was like, okay, this is kind of my job now. And then I had the kids. I was like, all right, well, in this business especially, like, if you take a break, especially as a female, I have to say, it's really hard to get back in.
Well, especially at that time. I had this issue, too.
Yeah.
And I've talked about this a lot on the show, but it is true, especially, you know, 15, 16 years ago, once you were out, there was no getting back in. And there wasn't social media and ways to make your own content back then.
Right.
Very hard. But I really admire how you've done it. I think you're a great mom. And I totally used to joke on you about, because you're like Miss Y2K, like you're a safety girl, like you lock your stroller at Disneyland. So I do talk about that. But I remember saying to you a few years ago, I was, you know, because obviously we're sisters, we can joke and rag and whatever.
Yeah.
But I said something to you about safety girl, and I was laughing that Jackson, your older son, was going to be in a 6-point harness and a helmet when he was learning how to drive. And you were like,
if I could.
See? But what you said resonated with me. You said, look, I feel like right now, this is my one job. My one job is to be their mother and to keep them safe. And so that's what I'm going to do. And I thought, yeah, not that I don't feel that way about my kids. Of course I do. But the way you said it,
I wouldn't say it was my one job, but it definitely is like one of my main
jobs. One of your priorities.
Yeah, but I think every good parent feels that way, you know?
I do. But I think at the time I was also trying to, you know, create a balance of, you know, what, you know, work or trying to fit that in somehow.
Yeah, but you're talking about something where, like, he saw his friends, like, riding without a booster seat when they were 9, and he hadn't grown out of his, and I was like, you're not getting out of the booster seat. Or I've seen 11-year-old, you know, friends of my 11-year-old sitting in the front seat of their parents' car driving around, and I'm like, I just don't do that.
That would be me.
Yeah, I don't do that. They call it the death seat.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
No, of course.
It's entirely possible that I allow Nikki to drive Coco to tennis right in our community, but it's only like 2 blocks. He doesn't quite have his license yet.
But he has a temp license, right?
Yeah, but you're not allowed to do that. He's not allowed to drive by himself.
Oh.
Oops. Oopsies. But it's right there. I mean, come on.
It's probably fine. Is she sitting in the front while he does this? Yes.
Probably.
Uh-huh.
But at least there's a seatbelt on.
As I like to say, less competition for Stanford.
Oh, shit. it. That's so bad. Okay, no more driving to the tennis court today. No, it really is like two blocks away, and it's within our community. So there's like,
are you trying to convince me or yourself?
No, myself. No, but that did resonate with me.
Here's what it is. It's that I have massive anxiety about everything. I just have an anxiety disorder, and that's what it is. And I feel like if I have a plan for it, it's never going to happen. So that's why every single person I know is coming to my house in the event of a major earthquake, because I have every earthquake thing you can possibly think about. They're all lined up, and I go, what can you do for us? Okay, you can cook. Great, great. All right, you have
gardening
skills.
It's going to be like Noah's Ark.
Pretty much. What do you bring to my table?
Who's allowed in? But let me ask you this. So now, because I have a lot of friends whose children are in the same kind of grades you're in, because you're in ninth grade and sixth.
Yes.
Ninth and sixth.
Yes.
And so middle school and high school. So it's kind of that beginning of the end, meaning there's never an end. There are children forever. We worry about them and take care of them.
Okay,
forever.
What am I doing now? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm just saying, like, I feel like I've seen a bunch of my friends. I don't know I'm curious to see if you've seen this, but I've seen some of my friends get to that empty nest point and be like, crap, I wasn't prepared for this. Uh-huh. And now I'm either depressed or I'm, you know, I haven't prepared for it. And it's just like, to me, it's like preparing for anything, like preparing for retirement, or you have to prepare for it because it's inevitable.
Right.
It's going to happen. And you're a really smart, creative person. So are you thinking about it? And what are you doing?
Okay, so my ADHD means that I have multiple interests that I lose interest in very quickly.
I understand
that. So I have multiple irons in many, many fires.
Okay.
And I pick them up as I regain interest in them and then keep going. So I move forward bit by bit on different things. And I don't want to talk about all of them, but there's some writing going on. There's some products going on. It's just what takes my interest at that point. And nothing's at like a must do point. When something reaches like the, oh my gosh, it's at a crucial point, then I put everything into that. But I'm just moving multiple things forward as I'm interested in them. And I think Keith, my husband, is going to at some point retire, and he can do all
you think?
Yeah. And he can do all the boring bits that I don't like the business part of things.
Yeah, Terry will never do that.
I like designing, and he does the business part.
Oh, like you'd go into business together.
Yeah.
Do you talk about that?
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah, because he doesn't mind that stuff that I find ridiculously mind-numbingly boring.
So let me – oh, that's so interesting. All right, I want to talk about the husbands after this. But, okay, so I was talking yesterday on the show about – how I had to, I was doing so many, I took on too many things this year.
Uh-huh.
And I had them all spaced out in a nutshell. And it didn't work out that way. And then they were all on top of me. And I had to let something that was important to me, I had to let it go.
Uh-huh.
And it was like a loss. It was hard for me. But what I realized was, and I've read this, like you can't multitask, people say. But I do believe, because I used to think, like, throw everything in the wall, see what sticks. But I think, honestly, if I look back on 2019, that didn't serve me that well. And I think when I sat down and I thought, okay, what's really important to me? What feeds my soul? I mean, putting money aside. Let's say we're talking about side hustles, right? We're not talking about what you're doing to put food on the table and a roof over your head.
Right.
We're just talking about something for you, something extra, something that feeds your soul. I really had to sit down and go, okay.
What was it?
What is it that I'm doing that feeds my soul? It's more than one thing, but it's not 10 things.
Right.
Like one of the things is the fashion line. I can't believe how much work this is. And I know that sounds ridiculous because of course it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
But I knew it was going to be a lot of work, but I've sort of become involved in not just the designing and the choosing and but even the business aspects of it and boxing and the customer experience and all these different things that, because you know I'm such a control freak, you know, I want to know about everything. I want to know how they package it and who's putting it in the box and what does the box look like?
Absolutely.
And what's my customer experience when they open the box and how do they, you know, just all those things.
I don't have a problem with that part of the business. The part of the business I don't like is like writing a business plan. Right. Like pitching the business to investors.
Yes.
Bores me.
Yeah, that is quite boring.
Yeah.
But if you have the right partner or the right team, like, you know, you could do that. So I don't have to worry about a ton of that right now, but we are writing a business plan for a 2-year plan, a 3-year plan, a 5-year plan.
Right.
But I've kind of been thrown into the fire on this. So it's more like there's a 2-month plan and a 6-month plan, a 1-year plan. And then there's a long-term sort of plan that's going on. But once I like really had that conversation with myself, I felt 1,000 times better.
Right. I mean, there's things that I do, like you say, feed my soul. You know, I wouldn't necessarily put it that way, but there are things that I do that have nothing to do with business or anything that I never allowed myself to do because of our mother.
Why?
I'm painting. How about that? Does that answer your question?
She's not going to listen to the show. Say whatever you want.
No, I'm not trying to be vague. I'm just saying that, like, I know she won't listen. I'm saying that I'm painting, and you know, she is the painter.
Oh, right. Well, you and I suffered that growing up. I was talented and you were smart. Therefore, you are not talented and I am not smart.
No, but not even that. That's her milieu. You know, that's her thing. She is the queen and the expert and she went to school for the whatever and she's so gifted. And I was not going to give her more ammunition to criticize me in any way or to shoot me down or destroy me. So I just didn't do it, you know, because I didn't want her to destroy what I liked. And so...
this is a very self-actualized statement. So, I mean, did you do it on purpose or did you realize you weren't doing it later?
I knew I wasn't doing it, but I didn't have time and I didn't know where to go and how to start. And I just didn't think about it for a while. I mean, if you want to go really far back, I tried painting in camp when I was like 10 and I did it once and nobody gave me any advice or anything. I just painted this big painting. And I looked at it and I thought, and this is 10, what would mom say about this? And I decided that she would say it sucked, basically, or criticize it hugely. And I threw it out. I never brought it home. And I didn't paint again.
But listen to that. So you prejudged what she was going to say.
Oh, yes. We're
and
totally.
Then you had a total argument with her in your mind.
As we do.
As one does, yes. And then threw it out based on a reaction she never actually gave you.
Which she would have.
And then, no, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just recapping. And then proceeded to not paint for years and years based on this fictitious conversation that never happened.
Correct.
Okay, I'm just recapping. Okay. By the way, totally get it.
Cut to, like... A year ago, I found this class. It's near my house. I managed to get there a decent number of times a month, like once a week. And I started drawing and I like moved really quickly through whatever she – it's not a class. Different people go and they move at their own pace.
Okay.
So I moved really quickly through the mediums that she wanted me to do. And finally, I said, I want to paint. And I started painting and I've been painting now for like – 6 months or something like that.
Oh my God, are you loving it?
I love painting. Like I go and the time just speeds by and I'm annoyed when I have to leave.
How long are you there for? A
couple hours.
And are you just happy when you're there?
It's like meditation.
You're relaxed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's good for anxiety.
So wait, so she's at my house.
Mom.
Yeah. when was this? Like over the summer. I can't remember. And she sees something I've done. And I've only done assignments for now.
Okay.
I've only been doing assignments. I moved from acrylic to oil, and I've just been doing assignments, and a lot of them are...
Like, what's an assignment?
Photographs. Like, one of them, the one she saw was a bunch of marbles under a light just grouped together.
Okay.
And I'll show you a picture later. And she looked and she said, oh, you did this? And I said, yes. And she said, and your teacher didn't help you? I was like, fucking bitch. I was like, oh my God. I said, no, she did not. I mean, she gave advice if I asked for it, but she didn't pick up the brush and do it. She said, oh, well, you have some talent. And I said, I didn't want to say thank you because I was like, I don't want her to be like the decider of the talent. You know, I said, I know, you know, try and be really strong about it. She's like, oh. She's like, okay. And then didn't say anything about it. A month later, she calls me and she goes, I've been thinking about that painting of yours. Can you believe this?
A month later?
A month. She says, well, you know, in in real life, there's a reflection between. She starts talking about light and whatever.
She was critiquing it.
She was critiquing it. Yeah. And I said, she said about the reflection from object to object. I said, I did that. No, you didn't. You don't understand. I said, I know exactly what you're. No, I don't understand. I don't know anything she's talking about. Even though exactly what she's saying is that in the painting. I was just like, whatever.
Well, I had a similar experience when I was in New York and I was trying to show her some stuff I was working on for the fashion line. So I'm doing these logo scarves, right? Mm-hmm. And it's been a little bit of a process because obviously, you know, when you're creating a new line, you don't just, you know, sit down and go, okay, this is my logo and this is, you know, it evolves.
Right.
And by the way, it's evolving pretty darn quickly and it had to because of our timeline. So, which I didn't realize was tighter than I thought. So it's been evolving and I was so excited to show her.
Ugh.
And I went to go show her, and then it was the face and the, you know, this is very fill in the blank, inappropriate adjective.
Right.
And it was so negative that Terry was sitting next to me, and we were at dinner with Barbara and Tony also. And Terry was sitting next to me, and I said, you know what? Never mind. And she's like, well, don't you want an opinion? I go, no, because the way I pitched it to her was, so this is the logo scarf. Not like, what do you think about
oh,
this?
Yeah, yeah,
this
yeah.
is a design I'm working
this
on.
Is the
this
end.
Is the end. It's like when you're with a girlfriend, once you leave the house and she says to you, how do I look? She looks great.
Exactly.
Because there's no changing.
Unless there's a smudge or something that you can take off.
You got a Q-tip. You mm-hmm. can. You got a finger. You can mm-hmm. fix the smudge. The hair's out of place.
Yep.
The bra strap is showing.
Yeah.
Let me fix this. The outfit is not fabulous. You're in the cab.
Right.
Let
Too
it.
Late.
You look great.
Too
All
late.
You can do is empower and make her feel great.
Right.
Ask her before you leave the house. Different answer.
Right.
I mean, come on. I'm telling you, it's the finished product. But here's the thing, because I don't want it to be like she sucks and she's an awful mother. She is just who she is. And she has
Narcissist.
These. Yeah. She has these notions. And she's not saying these things to be mean to us. It's just how she feels. And she can't help it. She told me. Mm. I remember I did. All right. So I did obviously a lot
That's
of
a very
like
giving way of putting it.
Well, I'm trying to be nice here. But she. In high school, you know, obviously I did a lot of plays and musicals and everything. Do you remember we did a show, Scapino?
Yeah.
She told me I was terrible.
What?
Yes. You don't remember that?
No.
Oh, yeah.
I blocked out much of our childhood.
Oh, yeah. She told me I was terrible. She's like, look at so-and-so. Why? I can't remember her name. She was in your grade. She reminds me of Sarah Jessica Parker.
So-and-so?
Yeah. She reminds
not a good
me
enough description.
She reminds me of Sarah Jessica Parker. I'll come up with her name. Anyway, she's like, I can't remember her name, but she's like, why? How come so-and-so got that part? That should have been your part. This is like a non-part. Now we're going to have to come up with something. I mean, like crazy.
Come up with something for what?
To like help the character. Because it's so boring. And then even to this day, she'll tell me I was terrible on the show. So Katarina, you know, is now very into musical theater, and she got the part of Fiona in Shrek.
I know. I'm so excited.
So excited for her. On her own merit, did it herself, practiced, whatever. So mom keeps going to me, are you working with her?
Ugh.
And I'm like, no. They have a fabulous theater department. It's one of the reasons why I wanted her to go to this school. It's because they have a real. By the way, the instructors are people that were on Broadway like a year ago. They're not people that have never been on stage. These are like real instructors.
If you don't want to partake of her expertise, that's up to you.
Yeah, that's true. But she's shocked that I'm not sitting in on every rehearsal watch and critique her.
Who I has go, time for that anyway?
Number one. And number two, why would I do that to her? Because I always talk about this, but it's like the take-home message from her to me was always, you're not good enough. Like,
right.
Let me write your paper for you because you're not smart. Skylar's a smart one. Or you're not, it's not good enough. And I don't ever want my kids to feel like they need me, but they shouldn't depend on me.
Right.
The point is to help them be independent and functioning.
Right.
And help them make choices. Because you know what you were just talking about before about like, what would mom think of this?
Right.
I think a lot of us do this, but I remember I had a big aha moment. We had bought a house down there, we're in LA right now, in Orange County, halfway through construction. And so I had done remodels and stuff, but this was like, there was construction everywhere. I didn't really know how to begin. And I was calling, this was before picture phones and all that kind of stuff. And I was calling her every 5 seconds, describing what the light fixture looked like. Well, it looks like this. It's this color. Do you think that'll work in this space? Do you think that's, and And then finally, the builder, who was kind of a douche anyway, but he said to me, he goes, do you always have to call your mother and get her opinion? And I was first horrified, like, how dare you? And then I went home and I was like, oh my God, he's so right. What do I care if she likes the doorknob?
Right.
What do I care?
Right.
But even to this day, she'll be like, well, you know, that's wrong.
Right, exactly.
And I'm like, there is no right and wrong when it comes to design, art, music.
That's what I said.
There's taste and opinions, yeah. But there's no
well,
wrong.
There's good taste and there's bad
no,
taste.
No, she believes there's wrong. And I think that's the problem, is that there isn't. And I think it leads to an environment that suffocates you, and sometimes I think it can stop you from taking risks.
Absolutely.
And making choices. And I think, I mean, I've had that problem in my life. I had to reprogram myself.
It's a constant thing. It's not even ever fixed, I think, especially when you grow up with this. It's something you have to remind yourself of frequently, you know? I mean, for me anyway, I'll go for a while and then all of a sudden it'll pop up, or I'll think I'm past it or cured or something, and then something will pop up, or I'll trying something on in a dressing room even, and I'll be like, who cares,
you know? So yesterday Lindsay and I were talking about like women helping women and giving, you know, hey, here's my contact, or here's my this, or you know, that kind of thing, and it's funny because I just feel like growing up, it was always like everything's such a big secret and don't tell anyone anything.
Right.
And that's really hard to, you know, grow out of.
Yeah.
And reprogram that. So I find myself, we were talking about this yesterday, but I find
myself. It was a competition. Everything.
Yeah, everything's a competition. And who do they know? And who does their father know? And why did they get that role? And you have no idea. How did they get in that school? Oh, it's because, you know, everything was kind of like jealous and that, that whole thing. And so every once in a while, a thought like that will come in my head.
I'll
be like, no, bye.
Yeah, exactly. It's vigilance. I have to be vigilant.
So how do you raise your kids in the opposite way?
The opposite way. I mean, literally, I think I made a mental list growing up of all the things I would never do to my kids, and I've stuck to almost all of them.
I guess, but I'm sure we're doing other things, you know?
Probably. But, I mean, I never told my kids what instrument to play. I say, you can try all the instruments. There was a horrifying 3 weeks when Jackson was really into the violin, and I was really supportive, even though it was killing me. We were forced to play the violin, and I hated it so much. They ended up playing instruments that I really like, so that's cool. But I would never, like, tell them. Like, they were chosen for us. And I also say, something I tell myself all the time is that I can do anything if I really want to. If you really want to do something, you can do it. I mean, I can't, like, transport myself to Mars, obviously, but within the realm of Earth, you know? And I don't really think we got that message growing up. So, you know, try to be supportive.
Yeah. Try to be supportive without doing it for them. So what about Keith? Well, first of all, so Skylar and I grew up with our cousins, Tim and Peter, who were like brothers to us. So it was always the four of us growing up. But I think we all think collectively that you married the best. By the way, Terry thinks that too.
That's hysterical.
Yeah. He thinks that too. He always says that. He's like, she did the best out of everyone. Your husband's great.
Oh, thank you.
He's very smart and tolerant and fun. And
Keith definitely loves hanging out with Terry. So it's a mutual admiration society.
Yeah. They're really cute together.
Yeah.
So do you talk about when he retires? He wants to retire someday.
Yeah. I mean,
how old is he now?
56.
Yeah.
Yeah, almost.
Terry just turned 61.
Oh my God.
And you know what he said? He said, people keep asking him, are you going to retire? And he goes, do I look that old that everyone's going to say, am I retired? Am I retiring soon? And I go, no, it's because you're successful and they're afraid you're going to retire because what do you need to keep working? And they probably want you to do their next facelift.
Oh, no. So Keith wants to retire so that he can just play golf all day.
Right.
Yeah. That would be his dream.
So you're never going to see him again anyway. It doesn't matter whether he's at work or on the golf course.
Right, exactly.
Would you take up golf?
I have played golf in the past. I just hate it. It's so slow.
It's very boring.
I don't like waiting for other people to go. And you have to relax when you hit the ball. I'm more of a whack the crap out of it sort of person. I play tennis. That's my thing. Like, whack the crap out of it. That's better.
Coco's playing tennis now.
Ooh. Oh.
Yeah.
She should come play.
Yeah. Nikki's really good now.
Oh, yeah. He's on the team, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah,
very cool.
He's on the varsity team. He's really good.
Jackson likes tennis, but then he hits the ball like a baseball and it goes out of the court. So.
Well, he's a baseball player.
I know.
He found his sport.
Yes.
He's
you want to ask what I'm doing with a huge chunk of time is being a baseball mom.
Oh, my gosh.
Holy crap.
Baseball.
It takes up a lot of time.
Oh, my gosh. It does.
Yes. I mean, it's not as bad as, say, hockey, where you have to be up at 5. Although he's up at 5:30.
No.
He has early practice, like twice a week at school.
I was a hockey mom.
Off season.
Yeah, but I was a hockey mom. The games are short.
Yeah, okay.
The practice might be early, but games are short. It's a finite period of time. Baseball could go on forever.
Okay, but wait, I have to say this, that I was sort of like, when we looked at his high school before he went, I was like, they don't have lights on the field because the neighbors don't like that. I was like, oh, that's kind of a bad thing, you know, because they wouldn't be able to have longer games. And now I'm like, they don't have lights on the field. It's
Yay! Awesome.
They can stop early.
My favorite day was the day Nikki quit baseball. So happy. It's like, are you sure, honey? Because, you know, you're sure. Okay, great. Bye.
I know. And now my younger one is like, maybe I want to play baseball. I'm like,
no.
Do it at school.
But he plays golf. He's a really good golfer.
He's a really good golfer. Yeah.
That's so cute they have that to do together.
What, Keith
and Alec.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they like doing that.
Okay, so when would he retire? 65? Is that still like the retirement age? People retire at 65?
He would retire at whatever point he feels we have enough money for him to play golf all day. That's when he would retire.
Yeah. Terry used to joke, like, if someone handed him, like if he won the lottery.
Yeah.
What would he do? He'd be like, in the middle of a surgery, I would clip my lawyer's card to the patient and walk out.
That's Keith. I'm supposed to show up with the winning lottery ticket and the keys to a silver Aston Martin, red interior, and and then say, here you go. Go play golf.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Your clubs are in the back.
I have to tell you something that I find very disturbing, but I want to see what you think. I'm not going to.
Oh, good.
I shouldn't have told you it was disturbing.
Okay. But it has nothing to do with animals, right?
No.
Okay, good.
I would never show you that.
Okay. Because that's.
Okay. You ready for this?
I see two men in real life. What is that?
I know.
Huh?
You are a master.
Oh, this is frightening. But he looks like somebody with those lips.
Is that good or bad?
Right? He looks like...
I don't know.
I'll think of it.
This was really a bad idea.
Oh, the ears, too. That is creepy. Gross.
So do you think... What do you think of that?
What? I mean, it's a joke, right?
Yeah, yes.
You're not going to go home and find him with that.
Oh.
No.
So the commercial they did last year was so cool.
I mean, it makes sense that he has boobs if he now is married to somebody very young.
So we're looking at the new ad for Botch. So everyone's going to have to weigh in. But they put these huge prosthetic... Terry's texting me about it. They put these huge prosthetic lips on Terry and these ears. And
yeah, like elf
Paul's
ears.
Got huge boobs and everything.
It's very weird.
It's so disturbing.
It's extremely disturbing.
The one last year was
James
like
Woods? Is that who he looks like with the lips, maybe?
Yes. I go, people already think you look weird because you put too much volume in your face last year. Let's not do that. So I think with plastic surgeons, they don't like hit an age and retire. They kind of click down. But I think Terry feels the same way as Keith. I think that, you know, if he hit a critical mass point where he felt like...
Right, some number.
Some number, he'd be like, I'm good. But you know what? He loves what he does.
Right.
So that's, I don't know, that's part of it too. And then who knows? I mean, if Botch goes on for another 10 years, Lord have mercy. Then what?
That's really funny. Well, I mean, it's not like he's not a brain surgeon. So, I mean, at a certain age, you're kind of like brain surgery. Oh, my gosh. You know, like one slight shake of your hand and the person is dead.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's much better in plastics. You've got facial nerves and all kinds of things. But I think it just depends on who you are and skill level. But
absolutely.
But for the kind of surgery that Terry does now, like all this really bad revisionist surgery.
Yeah.
You have to be operating all the time. Like, you can't... Some people, like, click down, and they'll operate a couple days a week. Or
right,
they take
right,
time
right,
off,
right,
3 weeks off, 1 week on, 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, whatever. He couldn't do that.
Right. Well, because he would have to, he would still have to go in, I guess, because he still has patients who are recovering.
Okay, let's go back to the empty nester thing. So, all right, so you are painting again, and I know you're working on some products and like stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, do you feel like that's what your long term goal is that you're going to build these things up and then start working on them more and more? And then once they go to college, you can amp up with them? Or is it just to have other things in your life?
Both. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't like making the 5-year plan because things change and new things pop up.
True.
And stuff you could, I mean, I like technology and new things are happening there all the time. And I have ideas for apps and whatever, you know, there's all kinds of things. And I was, for a while, I was teaching myself Python, but I just run out of time because I can't do everything, even though my brain would like to. If only I didn't have to sleep. I hate sleeping. I really do. It's just such a waste. I'd much rather be doing something else. That my coding time.
I didn't sleep at all last night. I slept for maybe an hour and a half.
Why?
I don't know. I have been up all night for like on and off for the last 2 weeks.
Are we going to have an earthquake? Is that what you're saying?
No. Gosh, I hope not. No, I just think I have a lot on my mind and, you know, just trying to figure things out and plan for the next 90 days.
It's the amping up of the holidays.
It could be.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could be.
What are you dressing up for Halloween?
I don't know yet.
You don't know yet?
No, because Lindsay and I usually do something together. So a couple of years ago, we didn't have costumes. And so I was wearing all black.
Oh my gosh.
Course.
You do the same thing every year. It used to be the jagged miniskirt with what?
Like the bandeau.
Yes, the bandeau. And now it's the catsuit thing. It's like, oh my gosh, every year.
Every year. Now it's a catsuit with a different theme. It's so true. So we went as robbers because I just painted my eyes black and put on a beanie. And I got one of, because I still have my kids use those old school pillowcases and for the candy.
Yeah.
So I went as a robber with Lindsay. And then last year, she and her family were doing The Incredibles all together. So,
oh, I went as Edna last year.
Right.
Yeah.
They were really cute, too. So are you. Your costumes are always really good.
Oh,
you
thanks.
Love. That's your favorite holiday.
It is my favorite holiday.
And it's your husband's least favorite holiday.
Yes, because his birthday is the day before.
No bueno.
Oh, and you know who's coming on that day.
Your mom.
She says she's dressing as a witch. There's no irony there.
As we cackle.
Yeah.
So we were trying to figure out. Oh, and last year I went as, I couldn't think of a costume. So I was looking online and I saw a mime. So I decided to go as a Chanel mime.
Oh,
so I
God.
Did all black and white, but I had Chanel suspenders and a Chanel beret.
Oh, you didn't do that thing though, did you? The mime thing?
Like where I didn't talk?
And did the, like the invisible wall thing?
Oh, I did it all.
Oh, God.
Especially after a few cocktails.
Oh, no.
I was mimed out. But I have no costume for this year.
Oh. I have the best costume. It requires you to look as crappy as possible and be totally comfortable.
What's that? What's your costume?
Okay, so you know the movie Us?
Yes.
I'm dressing as the under people in the red jumpsuit with the scraggly hair and the gold scissors. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, the below people.
That's right. You're a below person.
I am my below person.
That's so funny. Coco's going, she's taken up after Terry. And you know
shark
how he's
head?
Always the shark? Yeah. So this year, she was a shark. She had one shark costume last year, and then she got one of those blow up costumes.
Oh my gosh, the blow up. That's what Jack's
pumpkin.
Doing. I can't stand it.
She loved it, though.
Really?
It was the best costume. And so this year, she's going as a blow up shark.
Oh, but it's like with the motor and
mm-hmm.
everything. Yeah.
Yeah, but the motor, it's cheap. You put a little battery in it. It's easy.
I know, but it's a humongous thing. And then when you're walking around at night, like it's
easy.
So crowded where I live on Halloween.
It's we go crazy. To Lindsay's house. It's like the perfect trick-or-treating neighborhood.
Why? Where's that?
It's not far from me. It's more. It's kind of like Back Bay.
Oh.
Kind of near Terry's, like near Terry's office, kind of over in that area.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not like where I live, though. I mean, it's crazy at my house.
Your area is insane.
I mean there's a few places around L.A. where it's like that.
But how many bags of candy do you give out a year?
I just bought all the candy. I bought 1,600 pieces of candy, and they're big. They're like Airheads, you know, Airheads are good because they come in packs of 90 and they look substantial.
1,600 pieces of candy.
It'll be gone by 8:30, I swear.
Really?
Yes.
And then you go dark?
Yeah, got to. There's nothing left.
Got to go dark.
What am I going to do?
Have you ever done the thing where you put the
carrots?
Have you ever done the thing where you put the bowl out like be on the honor system?
No, that's the stupidest thing ever. Somebody next door to us did that. I'm like, "Are you insane? What are you doing? Just go dark or something because that's just rude." The first person dumps it all in their bag and leaves.
It's so true.
You're listening to Heather Dubrow's World.
Let's face it, I don't cook very much, but when I do cook, I want to make it as easy as possible. And Anolon Advanced Home Cookware, that's the ticket. Now introducing Anolon Advanced Home. So Anolon Advanced Home combines performance with convenience for the ultimate weeknight win. I love cooking utensils, pans, pot. I love all of that. And Anolon Advanced Cookware, well, they've been in the market for over 15 years. Some of the new benefits include the new Infinity Slide nonstick system with optimal nonstick performance. So foods slide out easily night after night, which I love because when the food sticks to the pan, I'm like instantly irritated and feel like I'm a fail. And they're available in four different colors, Moonstone, Bronze, Indigo, and Onyx. Plus, of course, there's the iconic Anolon Sure Grip handles for an extra comfortable and confident grip, nonstick stain-proof exterior for easy cleanup. I got the Advanced Home Skillet set, and it's amazing. It's just so easy to use, and I love all the non-stickedness of it, because that way my kids can use it, too. The grip is really easy to use. It's just perfect for, honestly, any age and any kind of experience in the kitchen. And there are special deals to celebrate the launch, like $50 off 11-piece sets. So you can shop in store and online at national retailers like Bed Bath & Beyond, Macy's, or you can visit Anolon, Anolon.com for more information.
This is Heather Dubrow's World.
What do you think... New subject. What do you think people would be surprised about me that they don't know? I don't care what you say, by the way.
I don't even know.
Surprise. I kind of have diarrhea of the mouth, so I'm not sure there's anything they really don't know.
Seriously. I mean, like, I have the same way. The things that I keep secret are like, you're never going to hear. I don't know. I mean, we used to have, like, massive food binges. Do you remember?
When we were talking about this yesterday.
First moved to L.A.
Oh.
And we tried, like, every place that that were all West Coast places we'd never heard of before, like Shakey's.
Yeah.
And all these bizarre places.
You know what people might not know about us?
What?
That we lived for the first year on game show money.
Oh, yes. But you totally backed out.
No, I didn't. No. So we both auditioned for... This is what we did. We auditioned for...
Everything.
So we got on The Love Connection.
Right. But that's no money.
No, but that was no money. So we both did that. And then we both got on $100,000 Pyramid. But your name... Do you remember? Your name came up first.
Oh, I remember.
So you got to go on and they didn't let me go on because they didn't want us to end up... against each other.
I thought, why? That would have been cool.
I don't know. That's what I remember.
I thought that would have been good. Oh, whatever.
No, they didn't let us. But you did.
So
well.
I had Florence Henderson, Mrs. Brady, as my partner.
Mm-hmm.
She is very cool, but also a little too religious, or I guess was. She died. Also, like the last year. I won. And then at the end of the year, they had the people with the three fastest times on the big board
go to the 100,000
finals.
Yeah.
And I had the fastest time of the whole year. And it was two girls and I.
Wait, by the way, do you remember how we celebrated the first win? Because you won a lot of money.
I won like at least 10 grand.
It was $14,000.
Yeah, there you go.
I remember.
And weird stuff like floor polish.
Yeah.
What am I going to do with this?
We got weird products and $14,000. And we had agreed before, like whoever went first, we were just going to split the money, whatever. We're in this together. We live together, whatever.
Yeah.
And you know what I remember? You know what we bought? We bought frozen bagel dogs.
Oh, yeah.
That's how we celebrate. I think I have a picture of this in my scrapbook. I'm going to take a picture of it and post it.
Oh, you must send that to
me. Oh, yes. Frozen pretzel dogs.
Those were good.
Very good.
So
I interrupted you. So then you're on the $100,000 board.
Right. I was on $100,000. It was a round robin. I was so tired. Remember, we stayed up the night before, like, practicing, and I never got kicked off. It went for 5 days, and I stayed on the whole time.
Oh, that's right.
And by the end, I should have won, like, on the first day, but my partner, who was I don't even remember who it was. She was, like, on a soap opera or something.
She put the word in the question.
She got us, bumped off the board because she said the answer in the question.
Yeah.
Like zzz, and I was like, are you kidding?
Really? And it was like the second one, and
it was
finished
super easy, and
yes.
I did the whole thing. Oh, my gosh. And then so on the fifth day, they finally started dumbing them down because they wanted somebody to win. And the girl who won got like parts of a sundae or something, like, oh, my gosh. Ice cream, whipped cream, cherry. How hard is
banana.
That?
Banana.
Seriously? Ugh, I was so irritated. I should have won the 100 grand. Everybody knew it. Even the producers were like, we're so sorry. Whatever.
And then that's one way we lived. And then we worked at a restaurant downtown called Hubba Hubba's.
I don't think it was like half. It was on Miracle Mile somewhere. Yeah.
No, not yeah.
Yeah.
That seemed downtown.
Yeah. I'm not good in customer service. I'm really.
You were a waitress.
I'm not good with the people.
Yeah.
I also, for the life of me, can't seem to balance more than one glass on a tray.
I didn't even try. I was the hostess.
Yes.
I sat people.
Also, once you see what's inside a kitchen, you would never, ever, 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 ever want to eat there again.
That's why you can't work in a kitchen.
Ever.
It's a bad plan.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. No. That was also why when I was working as a writer on TV, I never wanted to work on Star Trek because I loved it so much that I never wanted to see the sausage being made.
Oh, that's so sweet. I totally get that.
However, now that it's on CBS All Access, I hope no one is like part of this. I refuse to pay extra for CBS, the geriatric network, and I haven't seen the two new Star Trek shows.
Some may call it the Tiffany Network.
Tiffany?
Yes. That's what they call it, the Tiffany Network.
Why? Because it's so old?
I don't know. Because it's glazy? I'm not really sure.
I prefer an orange box to a blue box.
When do you start your holiday shopping?
You mean for the kids?
Yeah, do you do?
Oh, my gosh, the kids are making lists in January.
Really?
Yes. Yes. No, the problem is your family.
Why?
Because you pushed all those kids' birthdays together.
This was not my fault.
It seems like it's planned.
It was IVF.
All together. That means it could have been planned
mistake.
Better.
I mean, surprise.
Okay, all the kids' birthdays are within, like, what, 2 months of
no,
each other?
Terry's September, Cat's October, Twins are November, Coco's December, I'm January.
Right. And, yeah. All in a row, and Hanukkah. It's all, too, yes.
It's close. A lot.
It's a lot.
It is a lot.
And I don't want to do what happened to you and get the combo gift.
Yeah, everyone gets a combo gift.
I hate the combo gift.
It's a lot. I know. But I say this every year. I'm like, I'm going to be really good this year and like not get a lot of presents, but I actually am. Everyone's getting two presents.
Yes. I started a couple years ago saying to my kids, okay, I'm not going to buy you 1,000 presents anymore because you have too much stuff. So what you should do is give me a big ticket item and then like one or two small ticket items.
Smart.
And that's what we will do.
Yeah, that's smart. So you guys are going to Tokyo.
Yes.
That's crazy.
I know. I'm so excited. Although some of the places we're going to go are not for kids. It's kind of annoying.
Why?
Like Robot Cafe. Why is that not for kids?
Robot Cafe is not for kids?
No, evidently it's like sexy Robot Cafe.
Really?
Evidently everything in Tokyo is a little bit sexier than you think it should be.
Seriously?
Yes. So I'm a little afraid of the Owl Cafe, but we will still go.
The Owl
Yes, where you sit there and you can hold the owl and like pet the owls. They have owls.
Okay.
I don't know how sanitary that is. But, and then they also have this other place, I can't remember what it's called, but it's a... It's like they took over a warehouse and redid the whole thing like a dystopian, futuristic Blade Runner city. And it's an arcade. And it's 18 and over.
That's a bummer.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. But okay. There's so many other things that are so cool.
So I told you about that place because a bunch of
what's
people.
What's it called?
Team Lab.
Team Lab, right. It's at on Odaiba.
I don't know. Yeah. But I saw a bunch of people that I follow on Instagram were... went to Tokyo this year. I don't know.
I know
why.
It's weird. A lot of people are going.
Yeah, but I saw the common themes were Team Lab,
right?
Hello Kitty.
Oh yeah.
Pokemon World
Pokemon,
or whatever.
Yes, yes.
And then there was another place that it kind of like reminded me of a Hello Kitty thing. I'll find out what the name of it. But everything's rainbow. All the food, everything.
Oh yeah, I'm not going there. I know what you're talking about. I can't remember what it's called.
It's a very. It
looks like everything has like a full bottle of food coloring. Yeah. Every single food.
Probably.
I was like, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
But there's the Harajuku area I want to go to.
Yeah. Are you going
to
dress up?
I mean, my hair doesn't look it right now, but I'm getting it redone on Friday.
Skylar,
so I already have like ombre red on the bottom.
Skylar's got blonde hair with red tip. Oh, we're going to take a picture.
I mean, right
after.
Now they're like pink, but I faded it so out. Oh my gosh. Last time she did it, I love this woman, but she said it's going to be red, like blue red. I'm like, okay. Last time was orange red. Fine. And it's not just the tips, it's like halfway down. And it came out shocking pink. And he kept saying I had birthday party hair. I was like, would you cut it out? You know, like he means like, I assume, a kid's birthday party where you spray your hair a different color. So I like got the shampoo, like whatever shampoo I could find that would like strip the color as fast as possible. But there are photographs of me with like the birthday party hair. But it will be Harajuku-esque anyway. So, it's
but they have, you
red.
Can get a you can get hair and makeup people there, and they'll like Harajuku you out.
I wouldn't be against that.
I know. I think you'd like that. I think
Alec
would
like that as well.
Yeah, the boys could have like a boy Harajuku look too.
Absolutely.
It might be super fun. Would Keith ever do that in a million years?
No fucking way. No way. Are you kidding? No.
Well, I have to
Mr.
say.
Mr. French cuffs and polo shirt? No.
See, my friend Jay, her husband, Peter, like he's game to do all that stuff. And they took the kids to Manhattan, I don't know, a few months ago. And they went to some troll experience because they have a young one. I think she's six.
Trolls are weird.
No, I like the trolls. I think they're cute. But anyway, at the Troll World picture, it's like Harajuku for trolls. And they'll do your makeup and give you the wig, like the whole thing.
That's
and they
hysterical.
Had the whole family get trolled out. It was real. I thought it was really cute. And I thought it was cool that Dad did it. I mean, Terry's willing to wear prosthetic lips. So I'm assuming
he'd be willing to do anything.
Who knows?
He's game. I think he's game.
I don't know. I was like, do you want to do a family? No. Should we get a theme? No.
Have Kat ask.
Yeah, well, there you go. By the way, isn't that the truth?
Totally.
Like, everyone knows who your favorite, the world knows who your favorite is. So funny. I need to think of something cool. I was trying to find something cool to get Kat for, you know, the Fiona thing. She's never, like, she's been in so many shows and stuff. Like, to buy flowers, I've done it so many times. She kind of, last time she had a performance, I'm like, do you want me to get you flowers? She's like, not really. So I ended up getting, I can't remember what I got, but I got something else. I'm trying to find something cool that would be Fiona-ish.
Oh.
But I looked it up, and everything I found is kind of, like, kid-like or, I don't know.
Are you talking about, like headpiece, tiara, hair thing or whatever?
No, but, like, I don't know, some little memory tchotchke something.
That's Fiona?
Or reminiscent of, like, a princess role or something. Like, anything I could think of, like, for example, like a comedy tragedy. Like, but everything I look at is, like, it comes off as cheesy or something.
What about one of those like little rings that look like a crown going around?
She doesn't wear rings. She's not a big jewelry
ear
person.
Clip?
She's not a big jewelry person.
Oh,
Max took my ear cuff.
I have a crown ear cuff.
Oh, that where'd you get that?
Online somewhere.
That Etsy? We show that to?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh. See
there's
that.
Everything on Etsy. That is the weirdest place ever.
I know. I bought Max a little diamond ear cuff last year for Christmas from Etsy from Israel.
Oh,
from
cool.
a guy in Israel that made it. I love, but you remember my ear cuff from high school? It's like a little man.
Yes.
Like a little silver man.
Did you get
holding
it in Mexico?
Is that where we got it?
I think
we got it in the village.
No,
Mexico?
Maybe.
I don't know. Anyway, Max has it now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm funny. Like, that's so funny.
Jackson was talking once
don't
about
do what I did while wearing it.
Piercing his ear. And I was like, you play a sport, dude. You can't pierce your ear. I don't know what you're going to do with it. And also, like, are you going to think it's cool, like, tomorrow? I don't know. Why don't you just get a cuff and, like, walk around with that for a while and see how it goes?
All right. So we have a guest on the show today. Dr. Bill Dorfman is here. And we're going to do a check-in with Natalie. She's going to be calling in a little bit. We'll hear all about Piper. She actually had a night away from the baby for the first time.
Oh.
I know.
Oh. Is she breastfeeding?
Yes.
So she did the whole pumping and leave, too.
I guess. I don't know from that. Neither do you.
No.
No. Didn't do that.
I know. We didn't have any support in that area.
It wasn't my thing.
You know, I thought about it.
You did. You thought about it for your second.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. And then a lot of things I thought about for my second that I didn't do for my first, like, maybe not circumcising. And then I ended up doing because I didn't want the first one to feel weird.
Bad. Yeah. All right. That's a lot of information right there. might need to dive into that further. So,
did we mention the verbal diarrhea? That was
yeah. All right. So when we come back after Dr. Bill leaves, we may have to talk about circumcised penises. Okay. Please stay tuned because Dr. Bill Dorfman coming up next.
You're listening to Heather Dubrow's World.
Oh, I'm always looking for an alternative for deodorant because I get nervous about deodorant. Don't you? I love Native because they create safe, simple, effective products that people use in the bathroom every day. Because Native products are with trusted ingredients and trusted performance. If you're not convinced, check out the 8,000 five-star reviews from their customers. I mean, the best part, Native products are formulated without aluminum, no parabens, no talc. But they're filled with ingredients found in nature like coconut oil, which is antimicrobial, shea butter for moisturization and emollient, and tapioca starch, which absorbs wetness. There's no animal testing, and you're getting free shipping and returns. It works. Make the switch to a natural deodorant. It doesn't mean you have to sacrifice on odor and wetness protection. The other best part is there's no risk to try it. Native offers free returns and exchanges in the USA. So listen, for 20% off your first purchase, visit nativedeodorant.com and use promo code DuBro during the checkout. That's nativedeodorant.com and use promo code DuBro during the checkout. Happy Earth Month, everybody. I know that every year we write down different goals that we want to accomplish. And maybe one of your goals for 2024 is to shop sustainably. Well, here's some fantastic news. Macy's makes it easy to do just that. This Earth Month, join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. And by the way, who doesn't love going to the park, especially in the spring? Super cute little doggies on leashes, soaking up the sun with your friends or your kids or your little nieces and nephews. Well, check this out. Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project. Their goal is to transform vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help create healthy, livable communities for generations to come. I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a huge difference. Donate online or in-store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose.
As always, a big, big thank you for listening to the show. And we'd just like to ask a small but very, very important favor of you. It'll only take a few minutes. And if you're one of the first people to do it, Podcast One will make it worth your time. Literally. I just need you to complete a short survey because the information you give us can help make things better for the show and for you as a listener. Just go to podcastone.com/survey and everything will be right there for you. That's podcastone.com/survey. The first 250 people who complete the survey will get a $10 gift card to Amazon.com, and two grand prize winners will be selected at random to get a $100 Amazon gift card. How about that? Free money. It's a win-win. Our shows are supported by advertisers, so filling this out will really help us cater to the needs of you as a listener. So please go to podcastone.com/survey. Answer some questions and potentially make some money along the way. Thank you so much for being a dedicated listener.
Now back to Heather Dubrow's world.
Hey, you guys, Bill Dorfman is here. I'm very excited. Dr. Bill Dorfman has been practicing dentistry for over 30 years. He's dedicated his life to helping others, and he's been featured on a million TV shows like ABC's Extreme Makeover, CBS's The Doctors. I can't believe we never met on The Doctors, by the way. Larry King Live, Steve Harvey, and of course, Oprah. He was the co-founder of Discus Dental, one of the world's leading dental companies whose dental products, Bright Smile and Zoom, have become household names worldwide. From its inception, Discus Dental's gross sales were over $1.3 billion. That's a lot of money. I'm just saying.
I like
a B. Yeah, it's good. A B is good. And was sold to Philips in 2010. Dr. Bill is a passionate philanthropist, the recipient of 18 Lifetime Achievement Awards, and the proud father of three daughters. We'll give you all of his Instagram and Twitter handles and all of that later. And, of course, the creator of Leap, which I am so obsessed with. But here he is, Dr. Bill Dorfman.
Yeah.
Hi.
Thanks for having me here.
Thanks for
being here. Much?
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Well, by the way, Skylar, we better do a few more things today.
I know, seriously. God.
Would you give me an award later and I'll give you one?
I really just want the prize.
Okay, never mind. I want the So, hi, it's great to have you here.
Yeah,
and
thanks.
We met each other recently.
Yeah, well, we met at Paul's wedding.
Yeah.
Wasn't that great?
That
I've known
so
Paul
fun.
Forever.
So have we. Terry and I think Terry and I met Paul like the same year that we met.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I've known Paul, I think, almost as long as I've known Terry. So like 23 years.
How do you know Paul?
Paul and I met on a TV show, actually.
Oh.
It was hilarious. After we did Extreme Makeover and it went off the air, the UK decided to do their own version, and they called it A Brand New You. And basically what they did is they took 10 English women to the United States so they could have a full Beverly Hills makeover, like teeth, hair, the whole thing. Right. But the funny thing is they had never really watched Extreme Makeover, and I don't think they knew
how extreme it was going to go.
No. They knew that part. But there are like patient doctor boundaries that we have here. So like on Extreme Makeover, I would always, hug my patients,
yeah.
Right? I went in for a hug. I'm not kidding. This lady like tried to French kiss me. I'm like, wait. I'm like, cut.
God,
I'm like, wait, I'm the doctor. She's like, I know, but and then we went in again and she kissed me on, I'm like, you can't kiss me on the lips. Like, this is bad for ratings. I you can't do this. But they were hilarious.
That is so funny.
So that's where Paul and I met, yeah.
Okay, so he was on that show too.
You would think that the English would be more reserved.
I think once they go out of England, they pretend like it's Vegas.
Oh, everything outside England is
Vegas. That's right. What happened in L.A. never happened. I don't know.
Even if it's on national television. That's the problem with today's society.
Hilarious. We had to, literally, they had to bleep like 90%. Like on Extreme Makeover, people say like, oh my God. These girls would say, holy, and then they'd use like words you can never say on TV.
But you can in England.
That's right.
That's right. A little bit looser over
yes.
there.
Oh, I like it.
So, obviously you're a world famous dentist. We could talk about dentistry if you like, but do you want to talk about dentistry?
No.
Good. Okay. So what? No, I'm kidding. But what I'd love to talk about is LEAP, because when we were hanging out at Paul's wedding, you started telling me about this organization that you started, and I was totally blown away. Skylar has two boys that are 6th and 9th grade, and we were just talking about this before you came in, but this whole, teaching our kids to be leaders, even if it doesn't have to be like leaders of the country or leaders of a Fortune 500 company, but it could be the leader of your friend group or your family,
right.
or anything.
I'll tell you why LEAP resonates so deeply with me. We've done a lot of philanthropic things. When I started up Discus Dental with my partner, Robert Heyman, we got involved with a foundation called Smiles for Life with Garth Brooks. And basically what we did was Garth and I did public service announcements. We said, hey, if you'd like to whiten your teeth and help a child smile for life, call 1-877-4-SMILES. You'll be directly connected to a dental office. You'll get your teeth whitened. You write a check to Smiles for Life, not to the dental office. Our company, Discus Dental, donated all of the whitening product to the dentist
for
free.
Cool.
We've raised $44 million over the last 20 years. This is a 20-year anniversary of Smiles for Life.
So what is it for kids' smiles? Is it cleft palates?
No. Hospitals. It was mainly all hospitals, and we worked with Marlo Thomas.
Oh, just
St. Jude's.
This wasn't
a dental thing. This was like,
that's just how you were raising
save all
the
lives.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got it.
So we did that. And that's an amazing thing. But I didn't really know those kids, Like, I know we were helping them. I know we were saving them. But I never really felt that connected. About 20 years ago, I got invited to be a mentor at a program where I would just come and speak to kids. And the idea of the program was to teach kids the skills they need to be successful in life that you don't learn in school.
Right.
Networking, how to interview, how to, apply to a school, etiquette, dating etiquette, eating etiquette, job etiquette. I mean, these things are all important life skills, public speaking, and all this. And so, I went and I did that for about 10 years, and then the founder passed away. He was in his mid-80s, and he passed away. And for 2 years, that program was gone, and I thought, there's a void in my life. Like, I loved meeting these kids, seeing them grow, helping connect them to you know, business people and whatnot. And so we resurrected Leap. We made it a nonprofit, so it was not a for-profit program anymore. It's funny, the Charlie right here was at our first program. He was 16. Both of his parents were dentists. That's how he heard about it. He's now the executive director of Leap.
Yeah, wow, Charlie.
And our motto is Leap is where leaders are made, and he's one. You know, James I met, and he's been at Leap almost every year except the first year, and he has helped run the program. And, you know, between the three of us, we work on this all year long. As we get closer to Leap, you know, we bring in a whole team of people.
But let's go back to the beginning.
Wait, explain. Does Leap stand for something?
Yes.
Leadership, excellence, accelerating potential. So basically, I work backwards. I'm a marketing guy, right? And I'm like, what's a great word for this? And I thought, Leap. Okay, now what is it? And so we plugged it in backwards. But the idea of Leap is to give kids the skills they need to be successful that they don't learn in school.
Or at home.
Or at home, and it works.
It's a summer program?
It's a one-week summer program.
They stay at UCLA.
But the other part. It's not like one and done. It's not like you're there for 1 week. When you're done, 100% of our students walk out of the program with written goals that their coach has, and their coach will check in with them every month to see that they're doing it.
Take me through this. So someone signs up for Leap. You want your kid to have first of all, who's eligible to
do this? Right. How old do you have?
Okay. So it's for students 15 to 25 plus. We get 30-year-olds once in a while, right? We run two programs concurrently. You will go. You're going to be a speaker this year.
Oh, good.
Yeah. We run two programs concurrently. We have a high school program and a college program, right? 90% of the time, all the students are in one room at the same time. There are times when we split them up by their age. Sometimes we split them up by gender. It's funny because, you know, 5 years ago, I used to do this thing called Had to Be a Gentleman, because 60% of the kids who come to Leap come on scholarship. We go out and raise money so that kids from impoverished families will get this experience. They can't afford to spend $2,500 for a week. And so 60% of the kids that are coming are A students, but they come from, you know, from Watts or places where, you know, where they wouldn't necessarily get to go to UCLA and live there for a week, right? So, you know, a big part of, you know, of what we do is to try and raise money so that these kids can come. But, you know, these kids come, and I realize that, you know, 90% of these young men did not have positive male role models in their life. So I put together this program called How to Be a Gentleman, where I teach them how to tie a tie. They didn't know how, like with the last day of Leap, they have to wear a suit and tie. They didn't know how to tie a tie, you know, and I taught them like which fork to pick up in a restaurant. I mean, things that, you know.
Always work from the outside in. Just a little tip there.
Okay. Yeah. Outside. But I mean, if you're wearing a tux with a cummerbund, which way do the pleats go? I mean, these are things your dad teaches
you. Do people still wear cummerbunds?
Yeah, once in a while.
Down? Do they go down?
They should go down.
Always up.
Up?
Really? You know why? Because
Crumb catcher. Yeah.
Anyway, so
I don't think people wear them anymore. That's just my opinion. No. We may have to talk about this later.
All right. So I always did this for men only. And then like 4 years ago, one of the women at Leap said, I want to come. I want to hear what men are supposed to learn. So I'm like, okay. So we blurred the line. So now even the parts where we would normally have say, okay, just, you know, guys, if women want to come, they come. And the thing that I love the most about Leap is the whole program culminates on Friday with something we call a mentor workshop. And you guys can both come. And basically what we do is we have different professionals from different walks of life sitting at a table with 10 students there. Mm-hmm. And they just ask them questions. And it's like speed dating. Every 30 minutes we change.
It's so brilliant because even if you get one pearl from each of those tables, it's a win.
But I'll tell you why Leap works. This is the secret. You and I are parents. We're both, actually, all three of us. If I tell my daughters to do something,
they're not listening.
They're not going to do it.
No.
Now, if you're an expert in that field and you tell them to do something,
you're still an idiot.
They might do it. But if 10 of their girlfriends say you should do this, guess what? They do it.
Yeah.
So what we do is we put kids in a group where we surround them with 10 of their peers, and we try and keep them in like a mastermind group for the whole year after LEAP, where they have the same students interacting with them and trying to just help them succeed. And, you know, with all the social media and crap that we have in the world, kids are lonely. They're really lonely today.
Let me ask you this. So they have like a counselor that stays with them during the year, which I think is super cool. What about, do they have a team?
Right. So here's how it works. When you come to LEAP, you're put into a group by your age. And we also try to, not just to age, but maybe this group's a little more sporty and this group's, by your age, right? That group is run by a coach. Those coaches are students who have gone through LEAP and walked the walk and talked the talk. So, you know, you can go to LEAP this year and you apply and say, hey, Dr. Bill, I want to come next year and be a coach. It's like, okay, what have you done? Well, nothing really. Yeah, you're not going to be a coach. Like, you know, we only have about 70 coach positions. We'll get about 350 applications for coaches. So we interview these students and we want to see, you know, great example. So my friend Chris Cooper, his dad is a dentist. We've known each other forever. And his dad says, Bill, you got to send my son Chris to your program. He is a straight C student. Like, he doesn't do 1 ounce more of work than he has to get a C.
Like, I don't know any children like that.
Right? Okay. So he sends his kid to the program. So the first day, Dad, why am I here? You're ruining my life. That, you know how
this
it goes.
Is my summer. Okay?
Yeah, right. The second day, Dad, this stinks. I hate it. This is my summer. I'm in LA. I want to go to the beach. The third day, Dad, we had a really great speaker today. That's it. The fourth day, Dad, I think I like this. The fifth day, Dad, do I have to come home when LEAP is over? I think I want. This kid came back to LEAP year after year for like the next 5 years. That year, when he went back to school, he made the honor roll and stayed on the honor roll all the way till he graduated.
That's cool.
That's cool.
And the thing about LEAP is LEAP changes kids' lives. And it works. And I'll tell you how I know it works. One of the things we teach is appreciation. Where do you learn appreciation? Kids don't have appreciation. We make them write their little notes. It's called I Appreciate Notes. And everybody gets a blank pad. And all week long, every time somebody does something that you like, you should write a little I Appreciate note. So we had 400 kids go to LEAP this year, right? I got 400 I Appreciate notes. 99% of them will start off by saying something like this. Dr. Bill, thank you. You and your team helped change my life.
Wow, that's so powerful, Bill. Congratulations.
And I know it did. I see these kids go out and excel. But I'll tell you the ones that really hit home. 1% of them will say, hey, Dr. Bill, LEAP saved my life. And I know it did. You know, these kids come in. They feel lost. Some of them, the first thing I do with kids is I get them to start to believe in themselves. I tell them, you are a 10. Act like a 10. Walk like a 10. Talk like a 10. And surround yourself with a... Some of these kids, they've never been told they were a 10 in their life.
They just need someone to care.
Yeah, we were talking this before because we're talking about our mom. And like, obviously, we're all products of our environment. But I think it's so cool how you're literally either programming these kids or deprogramming and reprogramming them in such a short period of time. Which is amazing. Can you go for longer than a week, or it's just a week-long program?
Well, we interact with them the rest of the year, but here's the cool part is once you program them, they don't go backwards.
They're good.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like once you get a kid to really believe that, yeah, I can be a 10, and I say, look around you. You know all those twos you're hanging out with? Get rid of the twos.
Bringing you down.
It lowers your average.
Yeah.
Right? And it's really life-changing. And, you know, we have a core program, and we've been doing this. I've been doing this now for over 20 years. And it's amazing to see how this has changed kids' lives.
I think it's also really cool. I mean, we're talking about kind of like the underdogs and the kids that need a little bit of help and that need that extra. But I think it's also so great for the kids that are already doing well, because there's always skills that they need 100% of the time. Because I see, you know, my twins are sophomores in high school, and so I see them and I see their friend group, and you can tell, you know, even if they're straight A students, they are deficient in some other area. My 13-year-old at her school, they have advisory, and it's a teacher, and it's six girls, same right. age. And it kind of reminds me as a precursor to what you're talking about. That's what they're trying to build. There is to build a team and to give them all that confidence and everything. I love what you're doing. I think it's absolutely incredible.
Well, thanks. I have to tell you, in all the years of doing LEAP, this year there was a highlight. I have to send you the video. What was his name, Kevin? The kid from China? Okay. This is a kid who comes to LEAP. How old was he? Like
high school.
High school. He's only been speaking English for 6 months, right? So all the kids have to do a speech. And so they do it in their group of 10, and then the best one from that group goes to the next. And okay. So we whittle it down to 10 kids that will be on stage to do the speech, right? So the morning of the speeches was our mentor workshop, and the kids are supposed to wear a suit and tie. So he goes by Kevin. I don't know what his Chinese name is, but he goes by Kevin. So Kevin comes to me the day before and says, "Hey, Dr. Bill, I don't have a tie. Where can I get one?" I said, "Hey, don't worry. You can borrow mine," right? So I bring a tie. So the next morning, that night, he's like, "Don't forget my tie." I said, "Well." So the next morning he comes up, I give him the tie, he puts it on. We go to the mentor workshop. And then afterwards, he comes to me and he folds it up almost like origami. Right? He goes, "Hey, can I borrow it for tonight?" I'm like, "Yeah, why?" He goes, "Well, I'm in the finals for the speech." I'm like, "Really? Like, you don't even speak English," right? But I'm like, okay. I'm thinking, like, how could he have made it to the finals? This kid brought the house down. He had more. This kid's going to go so far. He gets up there. He says, "Listen to me. If you take drugs, you are a loser. You don't go anywhere in life." He goes, "No drugs for you." No. And he just, like, every point that we were trying to make, he just, like, and the kids went nuts. They just went nuts. He was so dynamic. I had to meet his parents. Like, when his parents came to pick him up. In fact, we're going to, like, organize a little dinner. This kid is amazing. He is so gifted. It blew my mind. So, I'm going to send it to you. I want to see it.
So did your three girls all go through the program? 100%.
Ad nauseum. Like, mm-hmm. They started going through when they were born. Like, they went
right.
through every
yeah. –
no, no. I'm not lying. Every year. And they coached. And this is the first year that the twins didn't have to go to LEAP because they're in their last year of school and they wanted to do summer internships. And Georgie did one at Ann Taylor in New York, and Charlie did one at FabFitFun. And they couldn't get – I said, "That's okay. You know." But next year, you'll be back.
Do you know who the speakers are? Besides Heather Dubrow?
Well,
I mean, you can't go
so far,
higher than that.
So far this year, we have a commitment from Christian Slater. Said
cool.
he would come. Who else did I tell you? Last week. Oh, yeah, Katie Sagal.
I know Katie.
Yeah, Katie's awesome. She's going to do it. Last year we had Kathy Bates, Mark Wahlberg, Anthony Hopkins. Paula Abdul comes every year. Jonathan Bennett loves the program. He comes every year.
Did I not hear Elon Musk?
Elon always says yes and then has an emergency.
So, by the way, that happens.
Right. But he knows about it and he's down. So
well,
if
you talk to my son, could you tell him he's coming? Because I've already said that.
Yes.
And that's like, was a, I,
yes,
once I said that.
That was a big selling
point. Because when I first told him, I'm like, "Hey, Nick, you're going to do this program." He's like, "Really?" I started getting that. And I go, "It's very cool." And I explain it. I go, "And I think Elon Musk," he's like, "Okay, all right, I'm in."
How old is Nick?
The twins are about to be 16.
Tell him that 20 women from the Miss USA pageant title holders come.
Done.
That might trump Elon Musk, right?
Yeah, you know, he does give, like a Tesla.
We give scholarships to pageant winners. They actually bring a lot to the program. They're amazing young women.
So wait, so is it 1 week of the summer,
it's
or you
always,
do multiple weeks?
No, it's always the last week of July at UCLA. They live in the dorm, and this year will
them.
Be July 25th to the 30th.
How do people apply?
You just go
19th
online.
To the what? 19th, July 19th to the 25th.
Did I say the wrong date?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
July 19th to the 30th.
Okay. I'm looking
it
up,
are you sure? Look on.
July. It is the 27th to the 31st is the last
No,
week
no,
of
no,
July.
No. That's not it. It's the 19th.
19th to 25th.
Oh, that's a Sunday. Okay.
It's the 19th to the 25th.
19th to the 25th. Okay.
There you
already
go.
Do
it starts
IV
on
Tech
Sunday
there at UCLA. So for them to stay another week,
they should stay.
Have to.
Yeah.
And then maybe you can go elsewhere.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. What are you seeing of kids after they're gone? What are you seeing? What are they doing?
You know what? This is one of my favorite phone calls. Parents will call and say, what did you do in 1 week that I haven't been able to do for 18 years? And the answer is, I'm not their parent. You know what I mean? It's like, if you really want to see kids change their behavior, surround them with other kids that will support them, and it'll happen.
I also like the kid supporting kid thing, I think, is just really important. You know, we were talking earlier.
As an anti-bullying thing?
Not even just that, but we grew up in an environment where, you know, my mom was always like, who does she know? Like, always kind of jealous of that one and didn't want to tell information and very private. And I feel like we learn so much from each other, and we can be our best selves when we're helping someone else be their best selves and sharing information. And
well, that's what it's all about. I mean, I bring in these great business leaders to share the secrets of their success so kids can emulate this. But I also bring in kids that are business leaders, you know? And, I mean, that's the whole thing is, you know, the fastest way to success is through a mentor. You know, find great mentors in your life.
But also, even learning from amongst the peer groups that you're putting together, I think, is amazing.
Yeah. And you'll see these kids. And the cool thing about LEAP is, you know, you come as a student. You know, then you can come back as a junior coach or a coach if you're over 18 and you get. And then this is my part I love the most. The coaches that will come three or four times, we start to put them on stage. Like when we first started the program, you know, I did probably 90% of the speaking. But now I would say 50% of what I used to give, I don't give anymore because our coaches who have gone through the program put it on, which is like tickles me to no end.
That's awesome. All right. Can you tell everyone, please, how to find it on social media and how to
find
you?
It's super easy. Okay. So for LEAP, just go to www.leapfoundation.com.
LEAP
Foundation.com. To find me, it's on all my social, on YouTube, on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. It's all Dr. Bill Dorfman, DrBilldorfman. And I am still a dentist. I know we didn't talk about this very much, but I am still a dentist. I
think you're like the dentist.
Thank you. My kids used to say that. It was so funny. People go, is your dad a dentist? And they're like three. No, he's the dentist.
You sound like Terry.
I love Terry.
Now we see why you get along so well.
As soon as they have like somebody who's got messed up plastic surgery and teeth, I'm on that show. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
They keep telling me. They're just 100%. Like looking for the perfect patient.
Well, you're amazing. Thank you for everything you do. I think our kids are going to be there. Mine for sure.
For sure.
I'm definitely checking it out.
Yes. For sure they will be there. And thank you so much for being here. And I'm looking forward to being a part of the organization. And you guys go to the LEAP Foundation. Super cool.
And thanks for having me here. And by the way, I love you. I listened to a bunch of them last night because I never go into anything cold. That's why I wrote that little intro for you. So you could,
I said, Bill's the first one in 4 years that's ever handed me an intro. I liked it. It was good.
Yeah.
I tried to make it my own. But you know what?
And you did a great job.
Thank you.
But like, I would love to come back and just talk about other stuff. We could talk about teeth.
Yes.
We could talk about fitness. You know.
I thought you're 32.
Wait, no. No. I love
talking. Let's talk incisors.
No, I love talking about fitness. You know, I'm almost 70.
No.
No.
That's my joke, Bill. I always go, that's why I say how brilliant my husband is. I'm like, you know, I'm really 80. I don't know why people lie down. I lie up.
I know. Why
are people to think I'm so old
exactly.
and they think I look so good?
I know. Exactly. My grandma used to do that. We would go places and people go, oh, my gosh, how old are you? She'd go, I'm 96. I'm like, wait, Grandma, you're only 82. She goes, I know. If I say 82, they're a little impressed. If I say 96,
they're like,
did you see their face?
Oh, my God. Good. Yeah. All right. We'll definitely have you back. And when we're filming again, because we'll be back filming for YouTube.
I know.
Next
I look so good
you
today
do.
For
we'll
you.
We'll take a picture. I promise.
Okay.
Because can I say you're single?
I am.
Because Bill's single, so we'll post a cute picture of Bill so you can see. You can apply at Leap. Thank you so much for being here.
All right. Thanks,
Bill. Isn't he cool?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that program. I'm totally sending the twins.
And yeah, I'm sure looking it up.
They're going to have that dabbed reaction also, the denial, anger, depression, bereavement, acceptance. You know what I mean? Like, why are you sending me? Oh, my God, you're sending me. Oh, are you sending me? Oh, I like it. Oh, okay, I like it. I'm going to go back. That's what it's going to be. Very, very exciting. Natalie is calling in to do a check-in. So stay tuned. Here comes Natalie.
This is Heather Dubrow's World.
All right, I don't know about you. When I'm walking down the cleaning aisle at a grocery store, it feels like a chemistry lab. I have no idea. Hundreds of different cleaners for different surfaces, different colors, their smells. I mean, when did cleaning become such a chore? That's why I'm so excited to introduce to you Truman's, the coolest cleaning company on the internet, probably. Truman's is decluttering the cleaning aisle with 4 non-toxic cleaners for your entire home, shipped free to your door. I mean, isn't it? There's like no guesswork. So all you have to do is you order the Truman starter kit and they're going to give you all 4 non-toxic spray cleaners for 45 days risk-free, plus free shipping. I mean, you really have nothing to lose here. Truman starter kit comes with 4 reusable bottles, 4 amazing refill cartridges, and special deals on their refill plans. Truman's non-toxic sprays features an all-purpose kitchen cleaner, a glass and technology cleaner, an all-purpose bathroom cleaner, and a floor cleaner that works on all hard flooring surfaces. No more guesswork. And all you have to do is add water to Truman's refill cartridges, and you'll reuse the same bottles, saving space, plastic, and money. That's why Fast Company honored them as world-changing idea. Tackle all of your home's tough cleaning needs today the smarter way with Truman's. Hey, if you want to receive 50% off your Truman starter kit plus subscription, visit Truman's.com and enter promo code Heather at checkout. That's Truman's.com. Promo code Heather for 50% off your starter kit and subscriptions. Truman's, a better cleaning experience.
Now, back to Heather Dubrow's World.
Okay, everybody, we have Natalie on the phone. Hello, little mama.
Hello.
I have Skylar here, too.
Hello.
Hi, Skylar.
Congrats.
Oh, my God. We've been trying to get Skylar on the show since we started.
I know. She's here.
I am here. She dragged me here.
I love it. And I'm sitting in the back of my car feeding her because she was having a major fit. So here we are.
Oh, the mom life. How's it going? I saw that you went out for the night. I was so happy.
I know. So we went out because Riley had to work, but, you know, we just sort of took advantage. But my mom watched her, and I was mildly freaking out. I mean, I know she's raised 4 kids, but I don't know how we're still alive. I mean, she like overfed her. She was doing all these things, and I wanted to die. So the idea of leaving her with my mom, I sort of was panicking. But honestly, we needed it. We got out. I had, you know, a glass of wine to help me relax a little bit. But it wasn't too bad.
I think that's so good. I made a mistake by not doing stuff like that. Well, our parents weren't here. But, I mean, just doing that more. Because you know what? They're fine.
I know. But I think it's just when you're a control freak and you think you know your baby so well.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I have
about.
No idea. I was going to say, I don't know anyone like that at all. No.
And there's just something about my mom. I love her to death, but it's just something irritates me about her.
Who do you think you're talking to?
We've been bragging on our mother all show.
I know. And I'm just like, can you not do that? Can you not do that? And I have to, like, I find myself just, like, back off, Natalie. It's fine. She's good. She'll be okay. So
at least you can leave your kid with her. I mean,
yeah, that's good.
I would not. No.
No.
I would never.
No.
No.
My mother-in-law is great, though.
She's a nurse.
Also, yes, extra.
How are you feeling?
I'm actually, well, you know, I think it's physically, emotionally, mentally, which one?
All of it. Well, you had mommy carpal tunnel. What happened
with
that?
How far in is she? 3 weeks?
So 3 weeks, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, that's fresh.
My envisions, like, physically, my body, it's slowly healing.
Good.
I mean, obviously, you know, they're cutting all these nerves, so above and below the incision is, it feels so weird. Is that totally normal?
Yes, yeah, it's and it numb. Does, by the way, it doesn't change.
No. Not all
ever,
of them.
Still numb. It feels, it almost, like, hurts, though, when you touch it. It's so sensitive.
Yeah, that'll go away, but it's always numb.
Yeah, the little part will be always numb, sort of. Not a whole area, but...
My whole area is numb.
I have OCD, and the line is off, and it's crooked. <I'm
sorry. laughs> Well,
I'm
listen.
I'm really trying not to freak out about it, but it's like there. It's not straight at all, and I'm like, oh my god, what am I going to do?
Well, you're going to wait until you really, like, you know, you're at your regular weight and all that, but you'd be surprised. It could even out.
Yeah, because remember, there's swelling and stuff.
I don't know. It's really off right now.
I mean,
now.
Is it like a smiley face? Like an Amazon
is it sign? Is it someone's initial?
No, it's like that emoji smirk, like where one side is really
I know that one well.
So it's looking at you like,
Yeah, exactly. Okay,
How's little Piper doing?
She's great. That, honestly, that makes everything worth it. The carpal tunnel, the everything. She's healthy. She's eating like a champ. She's growing. She's, you know, like 6 pounds, 5 ounces,
cute.
6 ounces now.
Good.
So it's been good. And I mean, it's probably the best thing I've ever done and experienced in my entire life.
Well, in 5 more weeks, you can take her out into the public, and then
she's already taken her out.
I have
3 weeks.
Oh, please. At 3 weeks, I think I told Nellie, didn't I tell you the story? Was it my 1 week appointment with the twins? I took them to California Pizza Kitchen.
Yes, you told me.
And I changed. I changed them on the banquette.
The pelican or something.
And what?
Weren't you at like a pelican Christmas something or other? With Coco.
Oh, yeah. Oh, with Coco, 7 days old, Pelican Hill Christmas. Yeah, full on with tights. She had tights on and a dress.
But one of my kids got sick, and they couldn't figure out why. At 7 weeks, I'm like, it's almost eight. They're like, nope. And, oh, it was a nightmare.
But I think that's why my kids never got sick when they were little, because I just took them everywhere.
Okay, you tell
on the booth
that.
Of the Pizza Kitchen.
I'm definitely careful. I don't let, you know, like, little babies cut. Like, I'm not like.
It's amazing how many strangers want to touch your child.
Isn't it?
It's
and
disgusting.
They want to touch their hands, which is so annoying.
Which they stick in their mouths. It's
oh,
really
it's
irritating.
I always used to say, touch their feet, touch their feet.
Uh-huh. Or how about don't touch my kids?
Yeah.
Yes, adopt Skylar's opinion. All right, so tell me emotionally, how are you feeling?
Emotionally, it's been, and I don't know if it's just the hormones. I mean, I cry about 15 times a day.
Yes,
but it's not like I'm depressed crying. It's like I'll, you know, hear a song and I cry. Or I'm watching a commercial and there's a baby and I start crying. It's just like everything. I feel like my lens, you know, through the world has completely changed.
Right.
And I'm just incredibly sensitive. And thank God for Riley because, you know, I know not everybody has, you know, a great partner, but he really is just like, we just tag team everything.
That's amazing.
That's cool.
He's helped me. Yeah, he's helped me a lot. But I think it's just the whole, and you have so much time alone, so I think you're just constantly in your head.
Yeah. Oh, well, this is what I was going to say before, is that once they hit the age that you can go out, or in Heather's case, 1 week, they're really portable at this age. They're not really moving.
Right.
They're just sleeping and eating and pooing pretty much.
So you could go places.
Yep. You could go places. I took my kids everywhere. Everywhere.
Yeah. I think that's going to be me.
But you're right, because it is a very solitary. It's hard. You're not used to being home like
it's
that.
It's boring.
And not doing anything. Yeah, I think I was always go, go, go before. And then all of a sudden, literally just hours later, now you have a completely different life. So that part is a little bit hard for me. But but I'm trying to be present and enjoy the fact that she's so tiny, that I'm going to miss these times, that, you know, if she is my only one, then I want to just enjoy it. So I'm just trying to stay present as much as possible and not get in my head and not overthink things and not sort of lose my sense of purpose. But I feel like I also gained a sense of purpose with her as well. So I'm just trying to, like, really take it all in.
I think that's really smart. Remember we talked right before you left, and I was like, having a baby changes the way you see things and you see people. And sometimes it's, like, more positive, and sometimes it's negative. Sometimes it's somewhere in the middle. It's just interesting.
It really is. It really is. And thankfully, you know, I don't have any sort of postpartum, because I feel like that would have just, I don't know how women do it. That's so hard.
Yeah, but I mean, sometimes I love that. I'm so glad that you're not feeling bluesy at all. But sometimes people just cry like you do. It's totally hormonal. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it comes a little bit later, too, because you're still kind of in that honeymoon moment.
That's true, too. Yeah, well, that's not. Yeah, I might have just jinxed myself. But
No, you didn't. But I think you're very, you know, you're so aware and you're so on top of it that I feel like you'll know if it's something happens, you'll notice it. You'll be in front of it.
Yeah, I hope so. I really do. But it's been great. This whole experience has been insane. And honestly, I never even thought I was going to be a mom, and I never really saw myself in this position. So the fact that it sort of happened the way that it did, and now being in it, I mean, it's still surreal sometimes. I'm like, wait, is that my child? I mean, it doesn't even look like me, so I really do feel like a surrogate. But it's just, it's a really cool feeling, I have to say.
It's so funny. I keep looking at the pictures of Piper, and I remember them, you know, being like that. And Terry used to always say, he's like, we're like the only species where the baby comes out not being able to function, like walk or do anything. And he's like, do they call it the fourth trimester?
Yeah.
Where, like, he always says, like, I feel like they need that extra 3 months inside, because after the first 3 months, they're like babies, you know?
That's because it doesn't have to be inside him.
But that's a good point, too.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
No woman would ever wish for another 3 months.
No.
No.
No, I mean, me at 38 weeks, and I was like, okay, I'm ready.
Are you dressing her up?
No, she doesn't fit in anything. She's still in preemie clothes, and I never bought preemie clothes. So that's a big tip. Buy preemie clothes just in case.
Can always return them. Don't pull the tags.
Right.
Exactly. But nothing fits her, so she's been in the same three outfits. Mommy.
Yeah. So, speaking of that, so what's your plan? What are you doing?
As far as what?
So you get to, like, start maybe exercising at 6 weeks, right?
Yes. So right now it's just walking, brisk walking, and that's it. And then at 6 weeks I can actually start to work out a little bit more. But honestly, I'm just trying to stay healthy as far as what I'm consuming, which weirdly my taste buds have changed. Like, when I was pregnant, all I wanted was carbs,
right,
and now all I want is a salad. So thankfully, it worked out that way.
I need that moment. I'm still in the pantry.
So, I'm still in the carb phase.
I've been good there. I'm down 20 pounds, but, you know, I still have 20 more pounds to go, plus the tightening and toning of everything. But that's really hard, too. I mean, you can't really look in the mirror and pick yourself apart, because you'll go crazy.
Oh, no.
It's so hard, and especially with your first baby, because I remember, Skylar, I don't know if you felt this way, but I mean, and I had twins, and I was... And I ate, by the way, a lot. So I was, I think I gained like 57 pounds or something like that. I keep lying about it, so I can't remember anymore. But I expected, like, when I came out from the hospital, that my stomach was going to be flat. I would have to lose a little bit.
No, you still look pregnant.
I had one person for my second kid, after I had my second kid, I went to my older son's preschool to pick him up. And a woman said to me, didn't you have the baby? I was like, seriously?
Why do people do that? I don't understand.
I didn't look that big.
Because they don't think about it. But it is really shocking. And especially on social media, when you see some, like, supermodels and stuff, and they're, like, skinny 2 days after they give birth. That's an anomaly. That's not the norm.
Those are people who did not eat enough while pregnant.
Or that's just their physiology. You know, lucky them. But not me.
That's not a... No. In New York, they all starve themselves.
And I went into it knowing that, too. And I was like, you know what? my body's going to do what it's going to do. I'm not here to please everybody else, and you know, and it's just going to. I gotta let it go. I gotta release it.
Yeah,
as long as she's healthy, I'm good.
There's lots of people who end up having like nausea, like we did, and you got to eat whatever doesn't make you throw up,
right?
Or
she was so, Natalie was so sick the first trimester. Oh.
Do you remember what we were?
But then I was fine, and then I was eating like crazy.
You looked cute, fine. Poor thing. You just don't have a lot of real estate,
right? And they said that my cervix was small, so I'm going to make small babies. That's why she was so tiny.
How big was she?
Not my cervix, my uterus.
How big was she?
She was 5 pounds 6 ounces, and then dropped down to 5'1".
I think Jackson was 5'9".
Yeah, I keep meaning to look it up, but I can't remember. I think the twins were 5'1 and 5'10, I think.
Yes, that sounds right.
I'm not sure. But you sound so good.
Yeah, you sound awake.
You sound awake. You sound good. Are you tired?
Yeah, I've been sleeping on the couch the past 2 nights because, honestly, I mean, there's just no point in having 2 tired parents. Like, Riley's getting up early and having to go to work. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to I sleep on the couch. Well, the last 2 nights I slept on the couch. And in the morning, he'll come watch her. I'll go sleep for an hour and a half, and then he'll go off to work. That way I'm not absolutely exhausted.
All right, I'm dying to know about the snoo.
Oh, my God. What's she hates the snoo.
He what?
She hates the snoo.
Seriously, why?
So I don't know if it's because she's too small.
Yeah.
Still, and she almost is, like, jerked around. So I have to put the Dr. Tot in the snoo and lay her in there.
Well, that defeats the purpose.
Like, I know. So I'm hoping slowly but surely. But she also hates to be swaddled, so, like, super tight, because she likes her hand by her face.
Yeah. Some kids are like that.
Yeah.
You can leave one arm out.
I'm trying to just put her little hands by her face and then swaddle her. But I don't know if it's too jerky for her. I don't know if it's too much. I think when she chunks up a little bit. Regardless, she's going to have to go in there. I spent a fortune for that.
By the way, if she doesn't go in, Natalie, you go in.
Does it rock? I'll take it.
I may.
Let me ask you this. Did you get her? We never talked about this, but did you get her those little, like, the onesies or the nightgowns with the little handcuff?
Yes. So a lot of them already have them on it, especially the preemies and the newborns.
Yeah, I like those as opposed to, like, the mittens. Yeah. I don't like the mittens.
Yeah.
They fell off anyway.
That scares me.
And then the onesies that are open on the bottom that just have, like, that little stretch on it.
Those are the best.
Yep.
Those are the little nightgowns. That's what I mean. It's like it's like a stretchy on the bottom so you can get in and out quick, and then the little hand things.
Yep, exactly.
Yep.
Coco has a present for her.
Oh, I know. I can't wait for you guys to see her again.
I know. Well, I'm dying. I'm living for your posts.
I know, little girl. She's sleeping right now. And I'm sweating. I mean, I literally sweat through everything.
Oh, that's hormones. Yeah.
Yeah, it's hormones.
And I'm still bleeding. When does the bleeding stop?
I don't know. The breastfeeding, I'm not sure.
I don't know. Do you keep bleeding if you breastfeed?
No.
She is breastfeeding, though.
I know.
And then bleeding.
Mm.
Don't know about that.
It will help with the weight loss, though, the breastfeeding.
Apparently.
Yes.
That's what they say.
Yes.
Let's see. You're going to be the test case. But Skylar and I are 100, so we don't need that information anymore. All right. Well, we love you, and give Piper a kiss for us and tell her we love her.
I will. Have the best time. Love you guys. Miss you guys. And hi, everybody at home listening.
All right, sweetie. We'll catch up soon, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine having a newborn?
No, you couldn't pay me.
All right. Well, this is... Oh, you know what I want? Oh, before we go... Wait, I have something for you. First of all, I brought you... some heart healthy chews.
Okay.
Because you told me you have cholesterol issues. So I brought you the salted caramel ones.
Okay.
And I brought you a birthday present.
Oh, that's so nice.
From August, because that's how long it's been since
exactly.
I've seen you.
Exactly. Should I unbox it now?
Yeah,
because
unboxing
works so well.
While you're unboxing it, I'm going to talk about the fact that my nail is gone. And I keep thinking.
What happened with that?
So I keep thinking it's psoriasis, because you know I have that weird autoimmune thing and I get bumps and patches and
what?
Red patches on my elbow and
vaguely,
I get those bumps on my
head.
Okay. Thank you for paying attention. Anyway.
It was evidently not interesting enough.
Apparently not. So, no. Kristen Foreman, I saw her, dermatologist, saw her yesterday, and she thinks I'm now allergic to all of the nail products. Gel, powder, everything.
Are there non-toxic versions?
I think it doesn't matter that everything's toxic to me. Open your present. Anywho, so that's the story there, and it's very sad.
I just want to say before I open this, I was told by an allergist that I don't have allergies. I just have allergy triggers.
Oh.
So I could potentially be allergic to anything.
Oh, I did an allergy test like a year ago, and they told me I was allergic to green beets.
Green beets?
Whatever. Green beans. Whatever.
Oh, green beans?
How cool is that?
This is very cool.
Do you like
Thank
it?
You. Yes, I do. Oh, this is a boyfriend bracelet.
It's a Saint Laurent, like, zebra pony bracelet.
But it's not real pony.
No, of course not. Okay, only faux.
Okay. No, I don't do the animales.
No, I don't do animales either.
No animales.
No animales. Do you like it?
I love it.
Oh,
Thank
good.
You.
You're welcome.
Get it on.
I just wanted to tell you I love you and happy birthday 2 months late.
That is very sweet.
And thanks for coming on the show.
I'm wearing it now.
This was very fun. Will you come back?
I will.
And we'll dive into some more fun subjects. But
hopefully next
great.
Time I won't sound super nasal.
No, you sound good.
Really?
I feel like you've gotten better over the course of this show.
It's possible.
Thank you guys so much for listening. And we will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Heather Dubrow's World. Download new episodes every Tuesday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.